This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I believe here with your Texas Rangers, this is called Fire a Coach, Get Healthy, and Hope Something Good Happens. And we're about to find out tomorrow night to Boston Red Sox. It's going to be a three-hour G-Bag Nation for you tomorrow. So soak up these five-hour shows while you can, right? But I'm fired up. You know, I think the Rangers have made a smart move here. Many players, insiders have testified to the fact that right now inside that clubhouse, a lot of guys can feel anxious. Everybody, you know, I think as a top paid guy, you might be feeling guilty. As a guy, you know, trying to become a top paid guy, you're like, crap, am I messing up my opportunity here to get paid on a great team? And then on those lower players, you're seeing it right now. Tavares gone. Nobody wants him, right? He was kind of a World Series hero. He was the guy on base when Seager hit the game one bomb.
That's right.
You know, and he had some moments in that World Series. You need him on that wall. Yeah. You know, so he
Baltimore.
He had done some things right on and earned his status as a proper World Series champion that deserved the respect of the fans. But since then, it had gone so bad that I think most fans are celebrating this right here. Lady Tavares out, and the other news of the day is Evan Carter could be very well on his way up tomorrow. As CY confirmed that he is.
Yes,
in fact, he's going to be returning to the big league club tomorrow, and things have gone really well for him. I think between him and Pilar. Like, let's do Pilar against the lefties, Evan Carter against the righties. I think this has a chance to be pretty dang good for a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully Carter can hit the ground running a little bit, but the confidence is obviously back. Hopefully the health remains, and that he's been lighting it up here as of late. And I saw Evan Grant was talking about how Adolis Garcia is probably the next guy on the hot seat. And at any point, we could see Osuna.
Yeah.
Your guy.
Oh, yeah. I hope, man. I think we got to get through AAA. It's not unheard of, though, that a guy could be so red hot, and I think he is, that you jump. Like, the quality from AA to AAA, it's more about the maturity level of the guys and about what situation and right team could be perfect. But guys have made the jump from AA to the big leagues and had success. I think Ruggie did it before things went irreparably horrible. But I'm optimistic, and CY's point about the minor leaguers right now is the best players in the organization are at the big league level. We need to do everything in our power to get the most from them before we start looking at the minors. And I think, you know, Brian made a really interesting point about this earlier as well. Like, would you tick off veterans if you start going with the young guys and playing them? Because if they don't perform, then it looks like you're trying to go cheap or you're trying to turn it into a developmental situation.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was talking with a couple of buddies around the league, and we're our level of team building is like, oh, wow, we really like these young guys down in the minors. Let's see if, you know, but baseball is kind of different in that way. And they were saying, you know, because we were always asked about guys like Walcott and others. And one of my buddies said, he goes, listen, he says, if you put Walcott out there and it puts CY in a really bad spot, especially if he looks like a teenager out there, if it doesn't work out and he looks like a teenager, he'll look desperate and the veterans will get pissed off about that. So that's coming from another baseball front office guy. They, you know, everybody kind of goes through this, you know, everybody wants to play the younger kids. I mean, I know I do. I'm always like, hey, we've seen what the old guys can do, play the young guys. But in baseball, it seems a little bit different, you know, how that room takes things.
Yeah, yeah, I think you got to be sensitive to all that, and I love, you know, that this team is making moves here so early in the season, but more must change, and on that, we go to ESPN.com's Bradford Doolittle. Stock watch, one thing that must change for all 30 MLB teams. It's obvious what they're going to say about the Texas Rangers. It's the offense, but he also ranks each team and gives you percentage odds of making the playoffs, your average win expectation at this point, and your chances of being a champion. He does rank the Rangers 16th, one game below 500. I think that's in the range of fair. I mean, with a pitching staff this good and some of these bullpen numbers, like this Hobie Milner, yeah, his microscopic ERA, it's just ridiculous how good the pitching staff is. And I think we're frustrated. We've seen them lose quite a bit since that opening 2 weeks of the season. They've been significantly under 500. So, I mean, 16th might seem a little bit high to me, but I think it'd be tough to rank them right now because you don't think the offense is going to continue to be this bad, but you do believe the pitching staff is going to continue to be good.
If the pitching staff was bad, you would be the Colorado Rockies right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'd be a 7-10 win team.
Yeah.
If that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, their pitching every night has at least put them or given them an opportunity. I almost asked Chris about because they've won games, lost some others, but man, their pitchers have been in some high leverage situations already and done a pretty good job.
They have.
And so now, do you look at that as a positive going forward? That if you do figure out the hitting, that, hey, the pitching staff is the starters, the relievers. I mean, there's been some high-leverage situations that you've done a pretty good job with. So maybe you get that experience you mentioned with Milner and some of the other guys that have gone out there and taken the ball. So that to me is like a positive, even though I hate when they lose a game 2-1.
It's horrible.
I mean, I just hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it for the starter. I hate it for the guys in relief that hold the other team to two runs, and you know you can't find a way to get a hit in the seventh, eighth, or ninth to make a difference.
It is it's a miserable place to be, and it just lacks entertainment. You know, at least for the majority of the Rangers' existence, we can't pitch, but we're going to hit three home runs here tonight. Hope you enjoy it. Their win average, what do you think expectation would be? I mean, slightly under 500. It's 81.9. They have had a very difficult schedule. That's something that you can look at and lean on if you want to. Slightly above 500, battling for a wild card spot in September, I guess, is the average when you simulate this thing. What happens?
Yeah, they've played six games against the Mariners. That their pitching staff played three games against the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
I mean, they've played
Cubbies.
The Cubs. They've played against some teams that have some outstanding starting pitching.
So last month when ESPN ran these numbers, their playoff odds were at 61%. Mm. Where do you think they are now?
42.
I was going to say 52.
Okay. You guys are in the ballpark. I like how you're leaning optimistic. The computers say 38%.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
It has plummeted. And last month, their odds of being champions were 5.2%. Pretty healthy number. They had that good start. Where are they now?
One.
Oh, wow. You nailed it.
Yeah.
A staggering 1.1% chance that these Rangers will be a champions. I want to believe that these are some sort of statistical outliers and that what has happened in a combination of injuries, bad luck. I mean, the exit velo on some of these is absurd. You're watching these games against the Mariners and A's, and they're getting like seeing eye singles. I'm going to flare this thing. It's going to hit the line. And the Rangers are barreling 106, 108. It's on a line to the center fielder again. You know, it's at the warning track. And yeah, a lot of that stuff is going to even out. But I mean, what is the peak of what they could do? You know, I know they drew it up to be a top five offense. After seeing a month of being this crappy, I think my hope is that they could be average. What did I say last week? 18th?
Yeah.
Just be 18th. Yeah. You know, and I think at that point, you would have a very entertaining summer. You'd be a defense pitching, and we're going to score enough. And then maybe if CY can make a trade at the deadline for a catalyst bat, you could be on fire. ESPN wrote, even after an 8-run outburst, the Rangers are 29th in scoring. Yada, yada, yada. You know how all that goes. Let's get to Bully Melrose. Zach Wolchuk on vacation, and he was seen staggering about his Carnival Cruise Line, ranting about the Dallas Stars' victory on Saturday. Let's see if we can pick up the audio.
Stars fans, Bully Melrose here, straight from the oasis of the sea. God knows where the hell I am, just in the middle of the ocean here, boys. But what a performance from our Dallas Stars in Game 7. Mikko Rantanen saying, Luka, who? I'm the king of Dallas now, baby. I told you the Colorado Avalanche would pee down their leg as soon as they got up two goals. Who said anything about Colorado advancing? Nobody. Sure as hell wasn't me, all right? The Dallas Stars are just too damn good. Otter's too damn good. And I'm telling you, boys, just get pucks in front of the net, all right? Rubber on net. You never know what the hell can happen. Next thing you know, we're bouncing off skates, we're bouncing off shoulders. Just get the forecheck going. This thing's going to be great because Canada doesn't know how to win hockey games. And I know this because I was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. And I think the last damn time that Canada won a Stanley Cup, I was coaching the LA Kings and Montreal beat me. Good thing is, I ain't coaching the Dallas Stars, boys. That's Petey DeBoer, undefeated in game sevens. So if this one goes to game seven, doesn't matter you don't have home ice because Winnipeg, we're coming for you. You suck. Hellebuck, you're going to be in a living hell when Mikko Rantanen and Robo. Yeah, that's right. Robo's going to be back, boys. Miro's going to be back, boys. They're coming for you, Hellebuck. Get ready. A lot of pucks on the cage, and it's going to be too much of a flurry. Stars in six. They wrap this up at home. You heard it here first. Belly Melrose here. That's right. Stars in six. F you, Winnipeg, Canada. Keep your damn tariffs to yourselves.
Keep your damn tariffs to yourselves.
I kind of like Belly Melrose a little bit better. That is him in the middle of the ocean somewhere. Just so awesome. Hockey horny as you've ever seen him. That is incredible.
Man, even when he missed the dismount, he still nailed the dismount. That Wolchuk is a broadcast genius. And
he is good.
Salute to him.
Belly Melrose.
Weighing in.
That's incredible.
Vacation with his lovely family. Now, he mentioned Robo, right? On the injured players, could Miro and Robo both play? Coach saying, I believe you're going to see them both play in the second round. I don't know if it's going to be game one or game three or game five. I was just wondering about this. You know, how confident can we be at this point? I asked ChatGPT, what knee injuries could keep you out for 4 months specifically?
Yeah.
And they gave me a pretty interesting list, like meniscus tear repaired, not removed, could be 3 to 5 months. MCL sprains are 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. So it's not that. Patella tendon strain could be 3 to 5 months. But then I went back and looked at this, and this came in from the side.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, could be an ACL tear.
Yes.
ACL, so
yes.
I'm looking at this thing going like, if this is an ACL tear that requires surgery, yeah, that's 6 to 9 months. Right now, I don't think Miro's coming back, Brian. What do you think?
It's funny because as you say that, some of my trainer buddies, uh-huh, that I know from around the league.
Gang, yeah, of Seven Trainers Edition?
Yeah. They're sending me clips. Like, they're like, hey, man, you talking about this hockey guy?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, yeah. They're saying it looks like they were sent me a clip off TikTok. I guess the guy was skating this morning.
Yeah.
Miro was skating this morning. And they were saying, hey, this guy looks like he's wearing a Don Joy. That's the name of the brace.
Okay.
It's called a Don Joy Defiant under his socks there, or his, you know, what they wear, their shorts and stuff like that. And that's an ACL brace, is, yeah, what that is. And,
oh,
but
it is.
But my guys were saying, like, he's skating like he looks like he's skating, but these are football guys.
Okay.
He goes, it looks like he's moving around okay. But it's they're thinking also too that maybe there was a partial PCL involvement here too with, oh, the collision. You know, they went back and looked at that part of it, you know, the initial injury when Stone hit him, that there might be ACL and then a PCL. And I said, well, listen, with an ACL partial, could chance he could still play? And my guy said, yeah, the brace could be indicative of that being just the case. So this brace that he has, it's like a special kind of a brace that it looks like, because they recognize how it looks, you know, with their own how they see it. So my trainer guys are just, They're trying to help me here a little bit.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, I do love that. I do love, and that piece of information about that's an ACL brace, that, yeah, makes me feel like, now, yeah, we do know he had surgery for that January 28th injury, and it's 4 months later, yeah, right? So I asked ChatGPT, 4 months after an ACL surgery, could you be practicing? They said at 4 months after ACL reconstruction, your mobility would likely be significantly improved, but returning to full hockey practice, especially with contact or high speeds, is usually not recommended. And then they gave you a breakdown of what you could be doing after 4 months, and it kind of feels like that's what Miro's doing right now. Being out there, I'm like, I'm pretty quick, you know, but would you test that under a full load while you're getting smacked in the face? No. Or, you know, having to go on a full sprint down the ice and then stop suddenly.
Yeah.
That's the stop-start problem.
The mental toughness that you would have to be able to not think about that and get out there and really just get your tail off is, I mean, that would be pretty rare. You're talking like a minimum, you would think, 6 months.
Yeah. You know, just scanning through that more. You know, I definitely don't want to be an alarmist, you know, but I think this is PSYOPs. I think this is, oh, yeah, sure, you know, Miro could come back. And I think that's just kind of, you know, how you do it in sports sometimes.
I think that's why the odds swung so much. You know, they put Dallas back as the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. I think I think Vegas is betting on the fact that Robertson and Miro are going to come back and play. I think that's, you know, usually Vegas, they know a lot more than we know, right?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
They usually do.
They will get levels of information. I'm sure they have doctors and, you know, heads of staff with passwords to medical records. I mean, that's billions and billions of dollars are on the line.
Yeah, you can't
those
really
are the most resourceful people.
You can't butt crack the books very rarely, but maybe DeBoer's got it in him.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Again, Evan Carter coming back. Brett Boone, new pitching coach.
Hitting.
What's that?
You said pitching.
Oh, pitching, my bad. Yeah, Brett Boone, new hitting coach. And CY told us last hour he is going to be continuing to come on with Sean and RJ.
Yep.
And maybe even doing a little bit of podcasting. Okay, what we have next here is the Expressway. We'll go commercial free to the top. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30, and we're back with all that here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, buddies, let's do it. Let's hit the expressway. This segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the on-time experts as well here. A G-Bag of the Day is coming up in just 5 minutes. Let's take a snapshot of the world of sports. We'll talk about things you should know about Stars Jets as well, which will get underway Wednesday night. Ravens make what they call a tough decision, releasing kicker Justin Tucker. The GM there, Eric DaCosta, said sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those decisions. Considering our current roster, we made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. I don't know if that's the right words that I'd be putting on it. It doesn't seem like you want to frame that as a tough decision if Justin Tucker was, the predator that maybe some of these stories are portraying him to be. Just so bizarre, that would be your thing. And, you would continue to, do that over a repeated period of time. Just a brutal story in the end. And hopefully, we don't have any more of these pop up in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be nice to get a break from this, this particular type of story. And it doesn't help his cause that he just wasn't good anymore. Seems like
yeah,
that has a huge factor in this, even if it wasn't for the off the field stuff. And maybe the off the field stuff contributed to him just not being in the right headspace because he knew what was sort of looming over him.
Yeah.
And so that maybe contributed to him not being any good, but the level of play warranted him not being on the team anymore.
It's just weird how you'd show that like deference and respect to a guy that was accused of so much. I just don't know if they framed that properly, but it's a complicated situation. 2-game ban expected for the Michigan assistant Moore, who had a network of friends and family member around the country who were spying, trying to accrue signals. It was like Spygate 2.0 there. The top quarterback of the 26 class, Curtis, has chosen Georgia over Oregon. So congrats to the Bulldogs fans out there. Okay, let's do this. Let's look at some things to know about this second round Stanley Cup playoff series. Both teams coming off highs. Not only the Stars' epic third period, one of the greatest periods or quarters periods of time in DFW sports history, but the Jets were, 2 seconds away, 1.6 seconds away from being eliminated until Cole Perfetti there scored the game tire there in Game 7. I think this is advantage Stars, though. They end up playing an extra 36 minutes, more than half of an extra physical game. Mm-hmm. This thing is got to leave them gassed.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was most excited about. I was like, I'm ready for this game to end last night. And but there was a part of me that was like, hey, let's just keep this going as long as possible, because whatever team we face is just going to be, I mean, they had to empty that tank. And the Stars did too, don't get me wrong, but they have the extra day of rest plus just at least a little bit less mileage from the previous series. So yeah. I'm grasping at anything to just give me all the hope possible.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, the thing that is just disappointing to me was, in fact, if it comes down to a game seven, that Dallas crowd was incredible the other night. It really, really was. It was just the whole night, it was looking for a reason, and it got a reason in the third. You know, once they, it just, the first two periods were awful. You know, 10 shots, and it just, kind of a lifeless crowd. But you get that group going at the AAC. Those Stars fans, very passionate fans.
It was pandemonium.
They really did a nice job.
They lost.
Yeah, the players and the coaches acknowledged that, how important that was for them.
Hell of a job.
Yeah, to get that done.
Okay, Winnipeg does have a reputation for falling apart in the playoffs, and so does their goaltender Connor Hellebuyck, who was being heckled by the Blues fans. They've reached the playoffs 7 of the last 8 years, but have advanced past the first round only 3 times. And including this year, they've only won 4 total playoff series ever.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Jets into the playoffs, league's best team, facing the Blues, last team to secure a playoff spot, but the series required a miraculous comeback. They almost totally buckled, and the goaltender Hellebuyck is goals against average in the series 3.85. So it just seems like this guy's a little bit of a mental midget. You know, he's a regular season type of player. And that's not to be ashamed of. Happens to, a lot of it, great athletes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We see it time and time again. And hopefully Hellebuyck is ready to completely cave in on himself in this next series. Certainly looked very much so human in the previous series. And now they also got those other banged up players, right? I mean, Morrissey and Scheffley.
Yeah, they're
Scheffley didn't play. Yeah.
He's their second leading scorer, missed game 6 and 7 after major hits in game 5.
Yeah, they beat him up pretty good.
He finished with a career high 87 points in the regular season. We'll be looking for an update on him throughout the next couple of days.
It's so fun kind of about hockey and games that, you know, then they best of sevens and that kind of thing, is you have to learn a whole new group of players.
Yeah.
You kind of learned all the Colorado players, and now you got to learn all the Winnipeg players.
Yeah. Morrissey left in game 7, undisclosed injury. He had 62 points in 80 regular season games, fourth on the Jets. So you're kind of even there. It's 2-2 at least until Robo or Miro can return. Of course, home ice is in Winnipeg's favor, and they had a regular season record point total at home as well. So that can be a tough place to win, as Brian was alluding to. Yeah. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day.
Shoot, bro, you got to chill out, Dawson. You got to chill, bro.
What's up?
You speeding right here.
Am I? M-word?
Yeah. He's speeding, bro.
Was it the M-word?
He's speeding. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I saw that on the text.
God,
I think mental dwarf
God.
Was the word that you were looking for. Really? Mental dwarf.
Oh, my Lord.
I didn't even think about that one. You were just a smidge off.
Yeah, Lucius, I thought he was going to throw the Justin Tucker story at you.
Yeah. He still did something, though. He still managed to do something. Nobody died, but he got me. He still got me.
Nice work, Dawson.
Fastball right down the middle, bro. All right, anyway, this is G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 5:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up, shout it, at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and you can send all your hate mail there. Now, I think this is day 3 for this fellow right here, right?
I believe so.
Pac-Man Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember Pac-Man Jones. We were both in the VIP in the club. My VIP was right next to his. He was minding his business. Everything was cool. And then I heard my old lady say, "Ew, get off of me." And I looked over and there was little Pac-Man Jones, just sweaty, just dripping with water. Hair was everywhere, chains all over his chest, and a bottle of champagne in his hand. And he was trying to grab my girl by the hips.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was like, "Oh, you with him?" And then just berated me, you know, to her. "Oh, he ain't got this. He ain't got that."
Oh.
Man.
Like Scottie Pippen did in that video last month?
Yeah, bro. He ripped me up. And he was doing pretty good because I didn't have a haircut, so I was already feeling low. You know what I mean?
So what'd you do at that point? Do you leave?
No, we just sat on the other side of the VIP, like, all right, let's get away from the old hothead Pac-Man. Let's do a stroll around the club for a while. It was pretty fun, though. I'll never forget it. Pac-Man Jones went off on the Browns GM for how they did Shadur.
"And I really do think the president has something to do with this in a good way. Like, hey, yo, tweet about it. Boom. Obviously, he get picked 5 minutes later from the worst motherfucking team that could have picked him. And the coach, I don't know if y'all seen the interview of the coach. This guy has no, I mean, or the GM, sorry. This guy have no coof about nothing that he is saying. Andrew Berry, shove it up your one of the worst interviews I've ever seen a GM do about a player that they are drafting. He's saying shit that we already know. Why are you guys, oh, we expect him to come in and work hard, nothing's given to you. Ain't nothing gave to nobody. He's a fifth round pick, you got 5 motherfucking quarterbacks." Bro, that shit got me hot, bro. If I'm his fucking agent, we're trying to figure out if we can go anywhere besides here. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. I like that Pac-Man stuff. And I think that's a big dub for you, Lucius. If one of the best players in the league tries to pick up your lady, or your wife, and she has that reaction,
yeah,
I'd be strutting around that. Let's take a victory lap. That's a victory lap.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, that's right.
I bet his soul was crushed, or maybe he was just too drunk to even hear that. All right, let's go to Stars Hockey. Bully Melrose.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, this is from Thursday, the original.
Okay. All right.
Just, you know, give you some taste of it.
Count on me, L.A. King Stanley Cup champion Barry Melrose. I'm telling you, game seven, get Miro out there, boys, all right? Get him back
there. I don't want a game seven.
Well, I know I don't want a game seven either here, Brian, all right?
I don't want a game seven.
None of us want a game seven, Brian.
I don't want a game seven.
Captain freaking obvious. Get home. Don't come home and have to go ahead and play a game seven. Oh. Nobody wants that, Brian.
Get his ass buried.
Everybody wants to win game six, Brian. We want to end the series tonight, Brian, but if you have to.
Was that a little Canadian accent?
If you have to, pick the board.
It's Barry Dan Melrose.
Good old Petey.
It is Barry Melrose.
Petey's undefeated in game seven, Brian.
Barry Melrose.
Petey's undefeated, and they're going to get Miro back there. It's going to be incredible. Game seven at the AAC. The barn's going to be a rockin'.
I think that's Bully Melrose, actually.
Let's go.
I can't say anything to that.
But we're not going to have to worry about it. They're not going to need Robo. They're not going to need Miro. This thing's going to end tonight. Game six.
Let's go.
Gwendolyn Duchesne. They're going to get it done. Otters pitching the shutout. Screw you, Cale Makar. Screw you, Nathan MacKinnon. You boys ain't got bleep on us. Texas hockey, baby. Let's go.
The best coach we've had on staff since Coach Balsack.
That's yeah.
Bully Melrose, a.k.a. Belly.
He did all
Melrose,
that, and he said,
dude.
Colorado 4-3.
We got to get this guy a costume. He's going to go viral.
He is.
Stars keep winning.
Yeah.
I could see
him. A wig.
I could see him on a float in the damn parade. Yeah. That's what I think of that bit.
He's gonna be boozing out of Lord Stanley when it's all said and done. Oh,
I can see that happening.
That'd be great.
All right, let's go to our very own Chris Arnold.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Hall of Famer right here. Hey, hold up.
What you do to me? I never could believe the way you are.
It's the filters on that voice. I love that. All right, Chris Arnold was telling the story about a peep show that he went to in New York.
Oh, yes.
Then he started talking about Magic City and Lemon Pepper Lou.
So Lou Williams, sixth man of the year for the Clippers, back during the pandemic, everybody's supposed to be in the bubble in Orlando, and, you know, you can't leave the bubble. How come he had to go to Atlanta for a funeral, so they let him out of the bubble? And while he was there, he's killing some time. He went to Magic City. Somebody busted him and announced it on the PA or something.
It
anyway,
was great.
They've been calling him Lemon Pepper Lou ever since.
I don't know if I want that other nickname.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Bro.
Plenty girthy.
Bro. Chris is so amazing. So
amazing. Man,
that's perfect, man. Hello.
Somebody busted him and announced it on the PA or something.
It
anyway, they've been calling him Lemon Pepper Lou ever since.
Yes, baby.
Dude, the Peep Show story is iconic as
it
well.
Is.
I think the Peep Show story went five time like back in 2013.
That was so funny, bro.
Might have been G-Bag of the Year.
Yeah, he got his head slammed in there. Something like that.
The door closed on him.
It was closing on his neck or something like that. He said, how do I get it back open? They said, put another quarter in there.
Digging through his pockets with his head on the other side.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing, because there's a blessing out here for you, baby. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. This brother right here went up to the church and did a little worship and praise, and he had his Roger Troutman machine, you know?
So rough, so tough out here, baby.
Blessing us sure right. Jesus is mine. He said the fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his secret, and washed in his blood.
That was crazy.
It's pretty fine.
A little Peter Frampton like there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, dude. He's making the guitar talk.
Yeah, I'm coming back to church.
Is that Who made that? Is that Roger Troutman?
Yeah, Roger
Troutman.
Yeah, then T-Pain came and did it with the auto-tune.
Okay,
yeah.
Modernized it.
Yeah.
Is it Pac-Man Jones, our two-time G-Bag of the Day champ? Is it Bully Melrose? Is it CA with the Epic Peeps show story followed with a Lemon Pepper Lou? wanted to diss a freaking peer.
Yeah.
Or is it the church clip?
Like, he keeps talking like, nah, I didn't say that. Let's just keep
going. Just kept it moving. I don't know what to go for it. Either one. I'll go with the bully. Chief.
Yeah, me too.
CA.
Brad.
Oh, let's go with bully.
By a score of 3-1 and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Wolchuk. He's on vacation, and he'll be back next week. Might return triumphant as a recent 5-time G-Bag of the Day champion. You'll have to see how the rest of the week goes. Tune in every evening at 5:30. The goal is to go 5 times, kind of Jeopardy format, at which point you are immortalized and eligible for the G-Bag of the Year. Let's stay in the Pimp Cup where Lucius has L.A. Live.
I got a Monday-Friday edition. Whoa!
All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Sir, this order will make it socially acceptable for a man in his 70s to date a 24-year-old.
That's right, we're calling it the Belichick Law. We're going to make girlfriends young again, okay? Old men can now date far younger women. We like that. It's hot. But in reverse, it's quite disgusting, right? Very Dateline, you know? Did you see Belichick's girlfriend? She's pretty hot, right?
Yes. She is a beautiful creature.
God, you're creepy. This is why we don't hang out outside of work.
Yeah, people are concerned for Bill Belichick. They are concerned. That's all I've seen on the timeline this week. I'm concerned for Bill Belichick. We'll get to that for just a second. This is LA Live for Monday, May 5th, 2025. It is a Monday-Friday edition of LA Live. Welcome in, Tolos. Welcome in, first-time listeners. Welcome in, last-time listeners. Welcome in, long-time listeners. This is LA Live. Shout-out to Now. Yeah, now disband Dallas hip-hop group PPT for naming today. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Before I get into all that Belichick stuff, it was a big weekend for boxing, y'all. Big weekend.
Big weekend.
Big old weekend. It ended falling up short, though. A lot of boxing fans, even the casuals, were pretty upset by how it went down because they had a big lineup. You had 3 big fights. You had Friday at Times Square, Saturday in Saudi Arabia, and Sunday in Vegas. Mm. The highlights in NYC was Rolly Romero. He beat up Ryan Garcia in a unanimous decision. We're happy for Rolly.
Okay.
We're happy for Rolly. Rolly got the power, and he came through and beat up Ryan Garcia, even though he had sparred this guy before, and he beat him up in sparring, so I feel like he kind of had his number.
Yeah.
But this is a good look for Rolly.
Up and comer?
Well, he's been around for a minute. You've seen Rolly before.
Okay. He kind of talks like this a little bit,
but he's got like super big arms. Right. I think he's Puerto Rican.
Nice.
Yeah, man, great fighter. Great fighter. Teofimo Lopez looked good. He was putting on a fight. Devin Haney, who fought Ryan Garcia before when Ryan Garcia was on the juice.
Yeah.
But Devin Haney looked like he was still kind of shell-shocked from that last beating he took from Ryan Garcia.
What happened?
He was running all over the ring.
Make you trigger shot.
I mean, it was awful. People calling it PTSD. I'm talking about ex-fighters and everything calling it PTSD.
He would
take a couple of jabs at somebody and then do 4 circles around the ring.
Oh, I saw clips
punch
of this.
Again and do another circle. It was really nasty looking, bro.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Put on a show or retire.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. So, yeah, it was pretty disappointing for all the fighting fans out there. Even Oscar De La Hoya had to stop his vacation to get on there because he said he was embarrassed. So he kind of wagged the finger at the fighters.
But it's sad. It really is. You know, it starts from the top, too. I mean, when you're fighting for the money and not legacy, every young fighter just follows that pattern. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the organizers, the people putting up the money, the promoters, you know, the fans especially. The fans want to see good fights. Let's go. It's teed up for everybody. Turkey's bringing out his wallet and paying everybody and the least we can give them is good fights.
Yeah.
Go out there and fight. I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated. But, hey, we got Crawford Canelo. I'm looking forward to it. Even though they're both almost 40, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there was damn near no punches thrown in the Canelo fight.
Oh, jeez.
He fought William Skull. William Skull got like $3 million. We don't even know who this guy is out of nowhere. Turkey Alashik is the one paid him. Turkey's got to find another way to find to get some incentives on these fighters. Yeah. Instead of paying them flat out and knowing they're going to get paid, you got to be like, hey, man, okay, you get a million to show up, but I need you to, like, certain incentives around them. Yes. I need you to fight.
Yeah.
I'm putting up a whole lot of money. I had it in Times Square, which he kind of dropped the ball on that one because he should have let a lot more people just watch it for free.
Yeah.
Like, if you got a hotel room or something above the fight,
oh, wow,
you should be able to see that.
Oh, they blocked all that
they
out?
They blocked it off.
Wow.
You should be able to just walk up and see what's going on in the fight. Maybe not close to the ring, but something. You're trying to get a good look for boxing. You wanted something to be talked about for a long time. Like, wow, it was a lot of fighting going down there in New York, and it was great, but didn't happen. He tried to protect his product a little way too much, and you couldn't get to it.
Yeah, you know, and I guess that there's such a financial incentive to continue to do that, you know, and not be a fighter. I think the structure of the league is unfortunate. You know, but the late, great Bill Walton had a very wise statement one time. He said, if you play the sport for the money, that's all you'll ever get, you know. And I don't know what the answer is, you know, because the athlete empowerment is great for boxing. Like, other sports should aspire to have that much control of your product and that much say in how much money that you make. But I think the downside to it is there's no way of you know, sort of leveraging the athletes into, you know, giving us the fights that could allow the sport to flourish, you know? It's only times like this when you're doing boxing that I'm really engaged in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And when Errol Spence was on top and I was watching all those fights, I loved it because I had some kind of hook to bring me in.
Yeah.
And I was learning more about the other fighters.
Yeah.
But without those big events, right? Yeah. And when you have big letdowns like you did.
Big letdown.
Yeah.
No fighting, bro.
You can't grow like that.
They were in the ring just chasing each other around. You paid $90 to watch these fools chase each other around the ring.
And committed time.
Stealing money from Turkey Alashik.
You could be doing something else. All right. So next time that comes up, do you want to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was really nasty. Sunday was the best day, though. Monster Inoue, he put on the show. That was a good fight. They're calling it the fight of the year, but I think that might be like Regency bias just because it was such a bad weekend that you ended a good weekend. I mean, you ended the fight with a good, you ended the weekend with a good fight.
There you go.
So they might be like, hey, that's
fight
of the
year. It's like birdieing 18. I want to golf tomorrow all of a sudden.
Yeah, he looked pretty good out there. Teddy Atlas was pretty excited about it.
He fights like he's got zero in the bank. like his bank account is zero. He fights like a guy, again, that the refrigerator at home is empty. How do you not like this guy?
Fights like he got zero in the bank.
That's what you were talking about, the incentive, though, right, Lucius?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And Monster's already doing his thing anyway. I don't know what these other cats are doing. You got a full bag to fight. You got to fight. That was an embarrassing look for boxing last night. Mm-hmm. Even the casuals are upset about it. And, you know, they don't even know, respectfully, what they're looking at sometimes.
We don't know.
Yeah, I get that.
But that is embarrassing. Anybody can tell sort of a sandbagging situation. Just dudes dancing around in there.
They were all doing it for the money, bro.
That's awful.
It looked really, really bad.
Well, is Canelo and Crawford going to be? I mean, are you pretty hyped about that?
A little bit. A little bit. I mean, I know Crawford's got to go up, what, 2 weight classes to match with Canelo?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Going to be tough sledding.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. If Floyd Mayweather gets in his corner, kind of helps him out with some pointers. Because Floyd Mayweather's the only cat that made Canelo look crazy. Made him look regular. So maybe if he gets Floyd Mayweather in there, we'll see something. People are concerned for Bill Belichick. A lot of people on my timeline. Concerned. His own friend Peter King. Does he like Peter King?
Do you think
Belichick liked Peter King at all?
I think they were back in the day.
That's what I thought.
Everybody loves Peter, man.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Listen to Peter talk about him.
This is a guy who owned every room he ever walked into, and now he's got a 24-year-old muse telling him what to do or trying to control situations that, quite frankly, she has nothing to do with or should have nothing to do with. You know, Bill's got to get a hold of himself here. He's got to get a hold of this situation. This is embarrassing. It's totally embarrassing.
Yeah, I think at this point he's right, even if he's not right. You know, maybe all that's not happening, but the perception is you know, Bill has lost control and you know, maybe it's kind of like Grandpa's about to give his inheritance away to the blonde, you know, and it's just, it's not a good look because it, you know, makes you look like you're so pathetic. You're giving up all your control. You're giving up, you know, maybe your kid's inheritance, you know, because you're getting, I don't know, taken advantage of, taken to the cleaners by a gold digger. You know, I think this would be horrible to be in the Belichick family as you're watching this, or if you're in the Belichick social circle. Now, I don't know. Maybe this isn't true. You know, we haven't heard Bill come out with a defense.
It seems like he likes it, man.
Yeah.
What if Bill just likes it and everybody's kind of jumping to conclusions right here? Maybe he asked, "Hey, take care of my priorities for me right now."
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I need a personal business manager.
Yeah, run away HBO from here too. I know the school will be happy about that.
It's just the biggest change, like personality change, or maybe we just had a misread the entire time. But you've never seen a guy go from being the man in charge in every single way. Nothing happens that doesn't go through me, so to speak. And then now he's just getting controlled at every turn. It's like he's been hypnotized.
Shout out to her though, because at 24 years old, I did not want to control anybody else's stuff. I had a hard enough time with my own.
She's definitely a go-getter.
Shout out to her, though, man. Yep. Bill Belichick is reportedly sidelining his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, as the fallout from the couple's disastrous CBS interview.
Sidelining her like she's getting a headset and a play call sheet?
That's what I was waiting for anyway on the North Carolina sidelines. I was waiting for her to call a play.
About time.
No, look like they're trying to sit her down maybe because there's a PR firm he's looking out for. He wants to be coach is looking to hire a PR firm. PR specialist.
Oh, okay.
So he's looking for somebody to clean up his image after this little girlfriend situation, apparently.
We got some crisis management going on. Probably the right thing. Maybe the same guy that told Patrick Mahomes to get Jackson out of the suite. I don't know. You know?
Probably so.
But probably listen to good advice. You know, you don't want to fight this. It's only going to make it worse.
While I was reading this weekend, remember the Dunkin' Super Bowl commercial with Ben Affleck and them?
She forced her way into the Super Bowl commercial.
Isn't that great? Because she was in it, and we were all kind of going like, his girlfriend's in this? And it was before we knew all that we know now. And now the reports are that, yeah, she strong-armed her way in there, and Bill looked at it as an easy way for her to cash a check. And the people around the production said they've never seen anything like that
before. Never seen anything like this. People are concerned. Let's go to Fox Sports.
At this point, Mike, after this weekend, I feel embarrassed for Bill Belichick because he seems small.
Oh.
At, like, this controversy with him in the CBS This Morning interview, just it makes him seem small. And really, I go, this was a guy who was the greatest head coach that we've ever seen in the NFL, and now look at where he's at.
Oof. Oof. Well, I mean, when you down, people take some shots at you. They take some shots.
Yeah. College football season can't get here fast enough for that, man.
I mean, I think it's gotten to the point where it's going to potentially interfere with recruiting. Like, you want to know your kid is going to a spot that's totally buttoned up, and the advantage of Belichick is he knows what it takes to do it in the NFL. You have to wonder about the professionalism there, though.
I wonder if she's going to be there for the interview and interviewing the players or whatnot. She's taking
in recruiting?
Power. Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is she going to go around recruiting and interviewing players and everything and having her checklist and handing it to Bill? Like, I didn't like that other guy, that outside lineman. I didn't like him. Yeah, I didn't like
that dude. Yeah. Now, what he's doing is the, hey, you'll be my girlfriend, and I'm going to, like, help you explore and branch out so you can have a future, right? Am I going to be a marketer? Am I going to be an event planner, an influencer, whatever it is? And, you know, I think towards the end with the Patriots, they'd already seen like Bill trying to improvise with the staff and make up rules that only applied for him there, you know, and now it's jumping up another level at North Carolina. I think whoever is in charge there at Chapel Hill is very wise to be handling it in this way, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, that CBS Sunday Morning interview where they asked him, hey, where did you guys meet? And she kind of stopped that.
Yeah.
The conversation was that was kind of evasive. Do you think that was invasive to ask a couple, hey, how did you guys meet?
No.
I feel like that's everyday questions for couples.
Yeah. Especially one his age and her age.
Yeah. It's a totally fair question.
Yeah. It's like, well, hey, how did you meet? That's a simple question to answer.
You know, there is like a Tinder for athletes and famous people.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like super attractive single people that rich people want to date are on.
Oh, he want to give it up. Okay.
Yeah.
Does Bill Belichick?
They never talk about it.
Does he meet the super attractive eligible bachelor? Does he meet that benchmark?
No. No.
No, she would be the super eligible bachelorette.
I guess. There you go. There you go. He's privy just because of his status.
I would say she probably has the most questionable background, is what I would say.
You think she was on a pole somewhere swinging around?
I would say that's
possible.
I'm just going to say this.
Uh-oh.
Say it.
No, I'm not going to say it like I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it. I just, there's a fun side of Bill Belichick, believe it or not. There's a fun side.
Chains and
he likes adult entertainment. Excite him.
I would say that, there's things.
He's got some credit card charges when he checks out of the hotel.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that Bill knows about.
Okay.
Areas of expertise of other things off the field stuff. Yeah.
Pleasure pain. His scouting isn't limited to football.
Not to football.
Okay.
You're putting it well, Dawson. Yeah.
Thank you, Thanks sir. For the insights, man.
He's got a pretty good eye for this stuff.
Shout out to the fan tags. People saying that's just hate. Them critics ain't got no holes, though.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, he is on top of the world in that regard, for sure.
Charles Barkley is going to save the day for us, though.
From what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got.
That's another rule I got. Until How many now. Rules this man has?
But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. And I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good. But I am concerned from what I'm hearing. Because, it's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
Well, people are concerned for Bill Belichick. We keep our eyes on that situation.
Are we going to get like a Belichick intervention situation? They're going to sit him down in the living room somewhere.
And he's going to like, what are you guys doing?
Make sure your grill doesn't come, bro. Wow.
Why are you guys all in this room trying to talk to
me? Empty the gags and the plugs out of your pockets. We got to have a serious conversation.
Give me the mask. Give me the handcuffs, bro. It's over. Here's a clipboard and some video, dog.
Yeah. There's some,
watch these players, man.
Go to work,
there's
Bill.
There's a lot of things going on in life. A lot of things.
If you're on your timeline and you see people dressed like Cam Newton, they're dressed like black dandies. They're getting ready to go to the Met Gala. Yeah. So if you're strolling down, like, why do they look like that? Yeah, the black dandies. Cam Newton style at the Met Gala. It's amazing. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Oh, black dandies, too, by the way. They took old clothes, thrift store clothes, basically, and flipped them out. Made them sexy.
Colonial times?
Yeah. Yeah.
Revolutionary times?
Took some throwaway clothes and then flipped them on and made it look good.
This is a big-time event, man. This is a big-time event going on right now.
Yeah. It's always pretty cool when the times are good. When the times are weird, it's like, oh, look at y'all spending all that money over there.
The clothes are beautiful, though.
What actually is this? Is it just like just a bunch of people schmoozing and stuff, or is there like some type of ceremony that takes place? Are they dancing? Like,
It's an event where you raise money. What is that called?
Charity.
That's a charity event.
a gala?
Yeah, there we go.
Everybody's bidding on different things. He's like $10,000 outfits.
Yeah.
More
it's
than
crazy.
That, yeah.
A lot of them caught my eye throughout the show. It is quite interesting. Thank you very much, Lucius. Right, there he goes. LA Live. Lucius Alexander. Every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, let's go around the bases. Could this guy be the savior again? It's next right here in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.